Ephesians chapter 2 again. And I will try this morning to start with to try to tie in what I've said the past 2 weeks. But let me begin by reading these three verses. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That's the same thing that the psalmist was saying, Job read from. Adding in that absolute truth that it's not God saves us if we will do just this wee little bit. It is for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. And here the question is not even good works. It's not of any works.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. It's not of any human effort, not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, first of all, one of the problems with so-called modern-day Christian religion is they talk about salvation by grace through faith, but they have no idea what they're saved from.
Exactly.
Most people, when they think about being saved, they think about being saved from hell. Mm-hmm. This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. But God should be believed even if I have to go to hell afterwards.
Amen.
God should be honored even if I must be damned afterwards.
Sir.
And it's not just salvation from hell. There are several things. I'll mention one, and I'll mention a few others here. We are saved from the wrath of God.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ. And that is primary and foremost, is to be saved from the wrath of God.
Amen.
Secondly, we are saved from our sins. That also is by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's all by Jesus Christ. Ultimately, we must be saved from ourselves, because we will be created anew, totally different than what we are right now. And, of course, we will be saved from hell. That's not even the end, though. We'll be saved from the lake of fire. Most of the songs we sing talk about going to heaven to spend eternity with God. That's not really true. Because we will not be in heaven with God. We will be on the earth with God and the Lord Jesus Christ forever.
Amen.
Scripture says there will be a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and the sun is the light thereof. S-O-N.
Amen.
The sun is the light thereof. We are going to be not on this earth, but we will still be here.
Sure.
That's where we will be. But now, let me try to zero in on this thing of wrath, God's wrath. Look at it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And my question for the past two Sundays was this. Who is God?
Amen.
That's the question. Most people have no idea who God is. They have no idea who it is that they claim is saving them.
Yeah, you're right.
But according to Scripture, God, the Savior, reveals to the saved who He is. And Joe quoted it. And let me turn to that one. That's our Lord said it in John chapter 17. And let me just read it again. I'll probably quote it, but let me turn to these words. Let me just read the first three verses. John 17, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh.
Yes.
For what reason now? Why does he have power over all flesh? That he might give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him.
Amen.
And this is life eternal. This is it. This is not how you get it. This is how it is. This is,
exactly.
We could say, in other words, if someone says, here is Walter Pendleton. Here he is. It's not how I get that way. It's who I am.
Exactly.
Am. It's how I am manifest. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The problem is, most people who claim to be saved have no idea who God is.
Exactly.
Therefore, they are not saved.
That's it.
Now, as I've said before, I'll say it over and over again, men and women are regenerated solely and completely and only by the Spirit of God Almighty.
Amen.
They are converted by the truth of God Almighty and the truth only.
That's right.
The truth only. Now, David, how much truth has to be there? That's God's business, but it will still be truth nonetheless.
Amen.
Men and women are not converted by error to error.
Exactly.
They are converted by God to the truth. And the truth is, the truth of Scripture, it's not a matter of here's what I believe. It is what I believe, but that's neither here nor there in and of itself. The truth is this. We are not. No, let me, because I didn't mean to say that. The Scripture does not teach dualism.
Yeah.
You know what dualism is, don't you? That means that there are two great entities over the universe or within the universe, and they are at battle, at odds, at enmity with one another. You have God and you have the devil. But the reason I use the scriptures I use is to point out the Scripture does not teach dualism when it comes to God in the universe. There is one God and one God only, and that God rules even over Satan.
Amen.
And I mean, he rules absolutely and completely even over Satan. There is no dualism as far as any rule in the universe. Now, we are saved. God's people are saved from the wrath of God. And let me just read the first few verses of Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened. And that's actually not there. It does need to be left out because the point here is not about quickening. The point is about what we were by nature. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Yes, it says were, because the people to whom Paul is writing were that way. They're not that way now. But the point is not the quickening. The point is what you used to be. Now that's important. Because if you're still only what you used to be.
Yeah.
You are only what you used to be.
Exactly.
Now you understand what I just said? A lot of people are talking about I've been saved. And I don't care if they believe in Calvinism or not. That's a moot point. They talk about being saved. They believe certain doctrines. But have you actually ever been saved from something?
Yeah.
Because therein is the point. You have to be saved from something. And it's not just saved from what you believe versus what you used to, what you believe now versus what you used to believe then. You're saved from what you used to be then and moved into what you are now. And you who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And notice, this is an inner spirit. It's an inner state of being. It's a, and I shudder to use the word because there ought to be a better word, but it's a spirit of life that is death. A better way of putting it, it is a spirit of living that is a living death. Maybe I shouldn't say it's a spirit of life. It's a spirit of living, but it's a living death. Because notice, wherein in time past ye, what?
Yeah.
Walked. That was our way of life.
Exactly.
Walked according to what? The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that is not a demonic spirit. It's a fallen human spirit.
Exactly.
My trouble is not with demonic persuasion or even infestation. My problem is with my own fallen spirit.
Yes, sir.
That's the problem. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all Paul, including himself, as well as all others who were in Christ Jesus when he wrote this, among whom also we all had our conversation, that is, our way of life, in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Two questions I want to try to answer. First of all, the first question is this: do I have any experience with what this means? Do I know what this is talking about? Not academically, I'm saying, have I experienced that right there? Not just the dead part, not just that's the way I am, is that the way I used to be? Now, granted, the flesh is still that way. But the scripture's clear, we are not that way.
Exactly.
We were sometimes darkness, this same epistle says. But now are ye what? Light in the Lord.
Amen.
Salvation is not just me getting to go to heaven one day. It is basically Jesus Christ and the life of Christ invading my heart, mind, and soul and my way of life now in this present age.
Right, that's it.
And it's more than just believing certain doctrines. It's having your whole thought and spirit process changed.
Yes, sir.
We're saved from something.
Yeah.
And we're saved from something now, not just something in the future. But here's what I want to try to do. The second thing is this. That's the first question. Can I taste this? Do I know what this is like? Do I know what Paul's talking about? Can I relate to what Paul's talking about here? If you can't, you're not saved.
Yeah.
I don't care how sincere you are. I don't care what you think you profess. I don't care what you believe. Because remember, Penny said this to a person the other day, and that person responded, "Well, don't go there with me." But Penny used this phrase, "Even the devils believe and tremble."
Yes, sir. Amen.
So it's not just about what you believe.
Yeah.
It's about who you are.
That's right.
That's what it's about. And we were. Now here's the second thing, of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now here's the question, what wrath is it talking about? That's the question. Now, most people, even myself included at one time, would read that verse and say, well, that's the wrath of God. Okay? Most people, when they think about wrath, they think about whose wrath? God's wrath. Now, it is certainly a subject to be thought about because it's a subject of Scripture. We've looked at it some. We will look at it more. But the problem here in the context is not God's wrath. The problem was my wrath. Now the question is that my opinion? Or is that what this means?
Yeah.
Because opinions don't matter.
That's it.
What matters is the Scripture.
Yes, sir.
What matters is what Paul meant when the Spirit of God moved him to write this. Now let's take a little class here. And let's stop and let's look at what is actually said here. And we'll concentrate mainly on the last part of verse 3. But let's read verse 3 again. Among whom also, that is, this children of disobedience, we were all of the same group at one time.
Yes.
We were all just alike at one time. My condition, my state, who I was, as I was conceived and born into this world, was just like everybody else, no matter what I claim to be today, no matter what I am today. I was conceived and born into this world just like everybody else. Even the elect are born into this world dead in trespasses and in sins. The only person I can say was an exception to that rule was John the Baptist, who was conceived dead in trespasses and in sins, but was filled with the Spirit of God even while he was in his mother's womb.
Yes, sir.
I was not.
Exactly.
And unless one of us came forth declaring the glories of God in the face of Jesus Christ when we were born, you and I were the same way.
Exactly.
Born dead in trespasses and in sins. But among whom also we all had our conversation, that is our way of life in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were, and let me give it to you as it says in the received text. And here's where the lessons will begin. And were the children by nature of wrath, even as others. Now that's one proof. Now, what I mean, let me just stop. This is not going to be just some great sermon about Christ and sovereignty. This is going to be a message about the text. Now this will be pertinent. This will be important information, because here we will look at singular neuters and plural neuters and singular masculine and plural masculine and singular feminine and plural feminine. And we say, what does that matter? It matters a whole lot when it comes to what Paul meant when he wrote these words. It means everything. Because when we get to chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, we find there that same thing. That word "that" is the demonstrative neuter pronoun. And it is very important as to the way the Apostle Paul wrote these words. Now, as I said to you, I mentioned this, the received text. Now, some of you may have an idea what I'm talking about. Some of you may have no idea what I'm talking about. But does anyone here know what I'm talking about when I say the received text? Anybody know? Or does anybody not know? Are you not honest enough to answer? Because everybody already knows, I don't need to spend a whole lot of time. You see, most preachers get up, and sometimes we preach to people because we preach as if they already have been through what we're talking about. And it's just not necessarily so.
Exactly.
And I have to teach as well as preach.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, when I talk about the received text, what I mean by that and what is meant by that, and what I'm talking about when I talk about the received text, I'm talking about a Greek text, okay, that is compiled, from which we would get a Bible, okay? But it is the Greek text compiling all of the books of the New Testament, derived from the majority of the extant Greek text, or pieces, or fragments, or parts, whatever they might be. That's called the received text, or the majority text. There are those who've written other Greek texts, which are in, I think the numbers are like 99.5%. They all agree on everything, David, other than like a 0.5%. There are variations of words. The problem with many of these others is they rely solely upon basically three old Greek manuscripts. Two of them, one is the Sinaiticus, the other is the Vaticanus. They are the oldest known full manuscripts, not just pieces and parts, but full manuscripts known. The problem is they have troubles, difficulties, and even misrepresentations in them. But there are people who think if it's older, it's what? Better. And older ain't necessarily better. Now, Joe has said it. I've said it. Usually the majority is wrong. That's when you talk about people. But when you talk about Greek text, you better take the majority.
Yeah.
Because if you're taking the minority, you got about 0.5% to go by. I would rather go by 99%.
Yeah.
So when I talk about the received text or the majority text, I'm talking about if you took all the texts together and you look at those texts, and some texts you know where someone messed up because you can see in the writing where it's a clear mistake. Just like if you know English well, and someone writes something, you can find where they make mistakes. You see it by the very grammatical, the way it's structured. You know it's wrong, David, just by looking at it. Well, people who know Greek can find those things. Even the received text has errors in it. And you know what one of the errors is? Now the error, well, I said that wrong. There are errors in the received text. And you can tell that there are things that have been added there. Here's the problem. Right here in the King James Version, this version that everybody says sticks strictly to the received text, it didn't stick strictly to the received text. It changed two phrases about. Here's the phrase, as it has in the King James Version, and were by nature the children of wrath. So the nature then seems to apply by its place in the King James Version. It applies to what? The children, right? And were by nature the children of wrath. You see it?
Yeah.
Even as others. But the received text puts it this way. The children, and then we would put a comma. The Greek didn't have a comma. But the children, comma, by nature, comma, of wrath. So the text itself would read and put together wrath, not with children, but wrath with the nature.
Exactly.
Do you see what I'm saying? This is just a lesson. I know it may sound simplistic. Some of you may not have got it. But the whole point is, and we were not by nature the children, but we were the children by nature of wrath.
Yep.
Therefore, the nature we had that was wrong was a wrathful nature. And whose wrath? What was our wrath? Who was our wrath against? It was against God Almighty. The problem is, by nature, we hate who God really is.
Exactly. That's it.
That's our problem.
Yes, sir.
Now, our problem is God's wrath as well.
Yeah.
Unless you're one of the elect.
Exactly.
Because I'm here to declare this morning that the elect of God were never under the wrath of God.
That's right.
Never. Never. Yet there are people who read this and say, well, but even the elect at one time were by nature under God's wrath, just like everybody else. That is not what Paul was saying here. Now, there's another way we can know this is true. Not just by the way the received or majority text is written. And let me tell you, even all these other texts render it that way. The only one that doesn't, even of late, is Lockman, who wrote his from between 1842 and 1850. That's when he compiled his Greek text. And he changed the words around as we read it here. He changed them around. That is, he has it in his Greek text, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. When actually the Greek text, all of them, there is no disagreement of any of the pieces on this. See, it's only like a 0.1% where there's even any disagreements in all of the fragments, pieces, and whole manuscripts together, Joe. There's like this very minute, when you boil it all down to percentages, it's very minute where there's even any variations. Here, there is no variation. Why the King James writers switched it around, I don't know. But it can throw confusion into the mix. Because what it actually says is, and were the children by nature, were the children by nature of wrath, even as the rest. And that's the way it would be literally translated. That puts nature and wrath together in the sentence. You see what's in our English? It puts it together rather than separating it out. Now, in the Greek, there's even another proof of it. The phrase by nature is singular feminine. The phrase of wrath is singular feminine. The phrase the children is plural neuter. So what does that mean? Now, in Greek, when you look at a word and it is, according to Greek syntax, either feminine, masculine, or neuter. It has nothing to do with the gender of a person. Okay? It's nothing to do with human gender. It has to do with word association. If you have, and let me just, for as a illustration, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that. Okay, and that phrase, and so I get it right, that is an accusative, singular, neuter pronoun. The main thing for our study is this, singular, neuter. That means everything that that word that relates to must equate in the singular, in its how many, and in its gender, what kind. Remember, it has nothing to do with the actual gender of a person. It has to do with word association. Now, as I said, singular feminine is the phrase by nature. Singular feminine is the phrase of wrath. Plural neuter is the phrase the children. Therefore, the phrase the children is separate from by nature of wrath. Do you see that? Just like here in verse 8 when it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What people will do, what Arminians will do is say, well, see, that is the singular neuter. But grace is, or rather the word, yeah, the word faith is singular feminine. You see now? And that not of yourselves. That is singular, that, singular, neuter. The word faith is singular feminine. So they say that can't be referring to faith because it's different. It's the same in number, but it's not the same in gender. Therefore, the Apostle Paul, when he used the word that, he had to be referring either to grace or salvation in general, but not to faith in particular. That's what they teach. Okay? And you know what? As Jim McLarty once said, they're right. In word association in the Greek, the word that doesn't apply to faith. But what they don't tell you is the rest of it. The word grace is singular feminine as well. And the word salvation or saved is plural masculine. Therefore, it would seem not to agree with any of the preceding things. But the point in Greek is if you have any word or if you have more than one thing and one is masculine and one is feminine, but you want to refer to the whole collective thing, then you use a neuter pronoun to describe both. If you wanted to, if, in other words, Joe, if he wanted to say, and that not of yourself, grace is not of yourself, it would have been the same gender as the word grace. Or if he wanted to be referring just to salvation, that's not of yourselves. It would have been the same gender. But because in the Greek, the word saved and the word grace, one is masculine, one is feminine, the other word is feminine. Since all of these are feminine, then when Paul used the pronoun, he used it neuter, which makes it refer to all three. That's the rule in Greek. Do you understand that? So then, we apply that same rule up in verse 3. And we were the children, plural neuter, which would refer to what? Everybody. But then what? By nature, singular feminine, of wrath, singular feminine. He is thus stating that the problem with our nature is our wrath. Our wrath. The scripture says, puts it this way, hating God and hating one another.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it puts it.
That's it.
That's what our nature is. Now, there are two illustrations. There are many illustrations of human wrath, but there are two great illustrations of human wrath in the scripture. The first one, that's the first one given, is Luke verse chapter 4 and verse 28. And it says that the multitude in that synagogue, the people in that synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath.
Amen.
And what did they want to do? They wanted to kill Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what was it they heard? They heard of the absolute, absolute sovereignty of God Almighty in showing blessing to humankind.
Amen.
God not only picks this one, but he picks this one and rejects that one.
Exactly.
Because our Lord said there were many widows in Israel.
Amen.
And he didn't say, but God fed this one over here. No, he said more than that.
Yeah.
He said there were many widows in Israel and God didn't feed a one of them.
Amen.
Isn't that what our Lord said?
Sir.
He actually pointed out the fact that not only, Joe, did he show this distinguishing mercy to a Gentile, but he refused to show it unto these Jews.
That's right.
Then he uses the same phrase, there were many widows. lepers in Israel, but God did not heal one of them.
Amen.
He went over here and healed a Gentile, Naaman the Syrian. And that's when it says, and when they heard these things, they were filled with what? Wrath.
That's it.
Wrath. Now let me tell you something. That's the same kind of wrath I have. And I don't care if you've been raised up under Calvinism or not. If you can't taste that wrath, you don't know what it is to have been saved. Because deep down inside, every person that's been saved knows how much they hate the truth of God in their nature. They know it. You see, a person who's never been from point A to point B can't say, I'm at point B.
Exactly.
You can say all day long, well, I know what point A is. Boy, I've been there. But if you're supposed to go from point A to point B, it don't matter how much you testify of being at point A, until you get to point B, you're not there.
That's it.
And it says, for by grace are ye what? Saved. That's not just a word. Not just terminology. That's not a theory. That's not something for the past. It's not something for the future. It's something that is a present day reality. And why do I say this? I say this because I've seen so many people come in here in this small group. Probably more than they're right here right now. If we were to sit down and count them, there have probably been more people who've come into this small group, make a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then turn their back on it with hatred and wrath. And you know what that's proof of? That's proof of the fact that they're lost.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's proof of. The wrath here in the context is not God's wrath, it's our wrath. Now, there are some people who say, well, we're saved from God's wrath. That people who are saved used to be under the wrath of God. Let me tell you, if you are saved today, you never were under the wrath of God. And we'll look at Scripture to show that. Now, but let me give you the other illustration. Acts chapter 19, verse 28 is what's actually stated. And you go back and look at the context. What will you find out? You will find Paul came into this one city, I think it was Ephesus. If I'm wrong about the city, I'm wrong. But he came into this one city and he began to preach the person and work of Jesus Christ, and many of the pagans in that city turned to Christianity. And what happened? Yeah. Many of the idol makers of that city, and especially one in particular, lost their jobs. Because the professing Christians now had no need for the idols that they were making and selling. And you know what? The whole city went in an uproar. And it talks about them being filled with what? That same word, wrath. And let me tell you, when you touch somebody's pocketbook, as I said last Sunday, or Sunday before, that's when the hubs of Hades will break loose. But let me tell you something. When it comes to Christianity, it touches every aspect of your life, including your pocketbook. And that's just the way it is. See, there's some people, they just move from one thing into another. And when they're in this other thing, they're still the same person they used to be when they was over here. Now, let me give you an illustration. If there are people say, but that can't be. You're saying that the elect never were under the wrath of God. How could they be saved from the wrath of God? After all, the only way not to fall off of the pole is to be strapped to the pole. Right? Ain't that the only way to keep from falling off a pole? Is to be strapped to it? No, the best way to keep from falling off a pole is how? Not to be on the pole to start with.
Exactly.
Now that may be silly. We laugh. I see some of you smiling. But that's the truth.
Yep.
The best way to keep from falling off a pole is don't get on the pole.
That's it.
And somebody says, well, you can't really be saved from God's wrath then. Oh yeah, the pole's real.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you don't get on the pole don't mean the pole ain't real. And let me tell you something. The pole can still fall.
Yes, sir.
It can still crush you. See, the point is, we were delivered from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ. But according to the Apostle Paul, look at it. 1 Thessalonians. Man, time just flies. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at what he says. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And what is the initiation of the day of the Lord according to the context? Anybody know? Anybody want to answer? It is the rapture of the church. That's the beginning of the day of the Lord. It's not the end of the day of the Lord. It's the beginning of the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord will not be just one 24-hour time period. Scripture does not teach that. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they, and not us, but for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Now we used to be.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Paul says in Ephesians 2? Yeah. Verses 1, 2, and we were just like everybody else. How? Yeah. By nature.
Exactly.
Of wrath. Even as everybody else. We hated God just as much as everybody else did.
That's it.
God didn't choose me because he seen there was a little spark of love down there in me. Any love for God that's in me, God gave it to me as a gift. Any love that's in me, it's his fruit in me, not my fruit. Now let me move on. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So what's his meaning for sleep? Don't be lazy. Don't be careless, right?
Yeah.
Don't be complacent. We could use all those words to describe it, right?
Yeah.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath.
Amen.
Right? But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are those who say, but he did that after you believed. No, you believe because he did that.
Amen.
As we've already seen in Romans chapter 9. He takes of one lump and makes one vessel unto what? Honor. And another vessel unto what? Even to dishonor. He's the potter. He has the right and the power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. There are some that are vessels of wrath who are fitted to destruction, and there are others who are what? Vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared. So when did he not appoint us to wrath? Even way back yonder.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Even way back yonder. Hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. And then look at what he says. Now you people can call it a license, they can call it what they want, but these are the cold, hard facts of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep.
Amen.
Aren't you glad it don't depend upon how much you look for it?
Exactly.
Because there are times when I ain't looking for it, and there's times when I am looking for it.
Yes, sir.
You know that? There are times when I want it to come right now, and there are times when I don't even think about it.
Right.
There are times when I would love to happen right now, and then there are other times I don't even give it a second glance.
You're right.
And anybody who says any different is nothing but a liar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's still the way. That's just the way we are.
That's it.
That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, same words he used when he talked about the rapture, wasn't it? Wherefore, what? Comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You see, the thing about it is, I am saved from God's wrath because I deserve God's wrath.
Exactly.
But I'm not saved from God's wrath in the sense of I'm already on the pole and he needs to strap me to the pole to keep from coming off of the pole. The fact is, God didn't appoint me to wrath to start with.
That's right.
And let me go back to this. He made of the same lump.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how to explain all this. I think there's an element of it that cannot be explained, that must reside in the secret counsel of God Almighty. But before, I used to say, well, the lump is a fallen lump. Okay? And I used to say that because, to me, it just had to be. But when God chose this, when God purposed concerning this one lump, one to honor, one to dishonor, we were not fallen yet.
Exactly.
We did not fall until Adam sinned in that garden.
That's right.
Did God know we would fall? He most definitely did. Did God purpose we would fall? He most definitely did. But we had not fallen yet. When God first created us in our daddy Adam, what did he say about us? We were good. And we fail from that state. And we deserve the wrath of God Almighty. Therefore, we're saved from it. But it's not because we were under it. Do you know that? It's not because we were under it. Now, somebody says, oh, but that ain't what John says in John chapter 3. And I was reading this verse just this morning. Penny was there while I was reading it. She came in, got some coffee, and I just couldn't help it. I felt like rapture was ready to take place right then. Just, you know, when you finally see, I knew this verse was there. It troubled me. I have to admit to you, it troubled me till I finally seen what it actually was saying. John chapter 3, verse 36. Bear with me just a few more moments. John 3:36. All of us probably have heard this verse before. I used to hear it all the time. Boy, in that Arminian church I was in, they'd quote this every time he turned around. You couldn't spit right or left without spitting between one of the words. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. See right there, if you're not a believer, God's wrath abides on you. Ain't that what that says? Well, that's what the King James says. But that ain't what the book says. And I was reading that just this morning, Mason. And if I'd actually read years ago, I wouldn't have been so blessed troubled. Just because I was too daggone lazy to go ahead and study and see what it really said. Now, when you read this, and he that believeth, you find the word pistis. The word we have most regularly translated what? Faith, right? So you think of faith, and rightfully so. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that, and then you read the word, and he that believeth not, you'd actually, automatically, because it's right there, believeth not, you'd think that would be the negative of believe, right? All they have to do is take the word apo, I think it is. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but it's the negative of something, and tack it on to that word pistis, and right there you have it, David, but it ain't that word. It ain't that word. It's a different word. Now, the word itself don't mean it's a different word. Now, there are words that are the opposite of pistis. That is not believing. A person who doesn't believe. A person may not even heard the gospel and still be an unbeliever. But these are not. This is not talking about someone who's never heard. It's simply just an unbeliever. These are talking about people who. This is talking about someone who heard the word and refuse and reject the word of God. Here's what it means. Believeth not. In other words, has refused to be persuaded. That's one of the ways you could put that. Use this word. Obstinate rejection. Not just being obstinate, but obstinate rejection. Spurning disbelief. Not just disbelief, David. It's not just pistis with this negative put to it. It's a totally different word with a negative put to it. Here's another way it would often be translated, insubordinate. And you know what insubordination is, don't you?
Yeah.
Insubordination is a person who has taken the oath.
Yeah.
It's what insubordinate, a person who says, I know what the rules are, and I'll follow the rules.
Yeah.
That's what to be insubordinate is. You don't, when armies go to war, they don't accuse the common men out and women out in there of insubordination. Who gets accused of insubordination? Soldiers do. Soldiers do. Insubordination. In other words, unpersuadable. Now somebody said, but we're all unpersuadable. Yeah, the flesh, but we're not talking about flesh per se. We're talking about people. The wrath of God abideth on what? Just their nature? Now God's wrath is against our old nature. God's judgment is against our old nature, our Adamic fallen nature. But this ain't talking about God's wrath being on a nature. This is talking about God's wrath being what? On a person.
That's right.
And And when I look, not only that, when I looked at it, it's the present active participle. Now, I know, I mean, when I was in school, I could care less about phrases like this. There are times now when I wish to God I would have paid more attention, Mason, when I was in school. I would understand and relate to these things better. But you know what the present active participle is? It means continuous or repeated personal action. Yes. Not just somebody who's never heard the word of God and is an unbeliever. That's not what it's talking about. I believe Christ is the one who said this. He that believes on the Son has it. Yes. Not gets it. Exactly. Has it. The manifestation of having it is believing. You don't get it by believing.
Exactly.
And then the person who is rejecting it,
yeah,
who is obstinate against it, who refuses to have it, what? Will not even see it.
That's right.
You see it?
Yeah.
But the wrath of God abideth on him. In other words, those in a continuous state of insubordination against God are under God's wrath.
Yeah.
That's the reprobate.
That's
what he's talking about. Reprobate. Now here's the question. Someone says, well, but if, you know, if someone is not a believer, aren't they under God's wrath? No, because they may be a sheep.
Yeah.
And sheep are not under wrath.
That's right.
Sheep are under the care of the shepherd from the get-go.
Exactly.
Because remember, our Lord, when he was talking about the sheep, remember we talked about he's brought... The good shepherd goes into the wilderness and finds the sheep, lays it on his shoulders and carries it all the way home. That's true, and we rejoice in that. But you know what else it says? The sheep went into the wilderness. Now how do you think the sheep went out into the wilderness? Who let the sheep go into the wilderness? David, who was watching the sheep when the sheep went to the wilderness? The shepherd was. And the shepherd let the sheep go into the wilderness. And then the shepherd said, I'm going to go find that sheep, put that sheep on my shoulder, and bring it all the way home to manifest through the sheep, you're mine, and I will not let you go.
Yeah.
You see that? Let me tell you something. God let us fall in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to.
That's it.
I mean, people make God out like he's some kind of idiot. Why would he put that tree there? If he didn't want it to happen, David. If his whole intent was for man, for the rest of eternity, to live in a garden of plush beauty and fullness, why would he ever put that there? I'll tell you why. Because of the same lump.
Yes, sir.
He makes one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor.
Amen.
And if the lump was considered a fallen lump, then there was no need for the potter to make one vessel undo what? Dishonor. It would have been of the same dishonorable lump, he makes some vessels to honor. Would that not be the truth?
Yeah.
But is that what it says? I'm only going by what the book says. It don't matter. Somebody says, well, that makes you this. I don't care if it makes me a pink-eyed bunny rabbit. I really don't care. This is what the book says. Of the same. What's a lump? It's nothing, neither good or bad. It's nothing. And it previously said, the children neither having done any works, neither what? Good or evil.
Exactly.
That the purpose of God according to election might stand. God did not look down on the fallen race.
Yeah.
We might say he looked down on the race who would be fallen.
Yeah.
That's fine. That was purposed by God. But God did not look down on a fallen race. God looked on the human race and chose who he would to show mercy to. And the rest of them he reprobated. Now folks, that's the God that saves us. And that's the wrath of the God we got to be saved from. And we were. Because he didn't even appoint it to us. We weren't even appointed to that. And this is why, what is it? Look at it, Romans chapter 5 verse 9. And I'll quit with that one. Now look at what it says. Romans 5 verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, what does it even say? We shall be saved.
Yeah.
Mason, that's even future. Because there is a wrath to come.
Yes, sir.
There's a wrath to fall upon the inhabitants of this earth, and we still have to be saved from that too.
Yes, sir.
See, it's not just, well, if I'm an unbeliever, God's wrath's on me. Now, let me tell you something. Our Lord said, you believe not because you're not of my sheep, but I cannot go say to an individual that's true of you.
That's right.
I hope everyone understands why. I cannot go up to a person and they say, well, I don't believe in Christ. I cannot say, well, the reason you don't believe is because you're not a sheep. Do you know that? I can't say that. Because I don't know who the sheep are, and the sheep start out as unbelievers, just like the reprobate do. He could say, the reason you don't believe because you're not my sheep, because he knows his sheep.
Amen.
Now, I can say to a man, if you never believe, then you're not a sheep.
That's right.
But I can also say to that man or that woman, I don't care what kind of unbelief and rebellion and wrath you have against God right now, if you're one of his sheep, he's going to bring you to believe.
Amen.
And that's just the facts.
Sir.
I can't go up to anyone and say, well, the reason you're an unbeliever, the reason you're an unbeliever is because you're not one of God's elect. Can you say that? You can't say that, can you? I mean, 20, 30 years ago, I would have hated every one of you people. That's the truth. I don't mean to laugh at that because now it's not funny to me. I hated, and when it came along, when God Almighty sent Joe Galusic and he began to teach this Christ, this person, and this work, I hated it with all my being. And any reasonable-minded person would have said, well, that can't be one of them. Because I was even vocal, Joe, in my opposition against it, was I not? It wasn't even just, well, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe. I told Joe Galusic he was wrong. And you know what? He was right. And thank God salvation is by free, unearned, undeserved grace. You know, shall the unbelief of some make the faithfulness of God of no effect? You remember that passage in Scripture? Uh-uh. He said, your unbelief cannot, if you're one of God's elect, even your unbelief cannot stop the sovereign purpose of God Almighty.
Amen.
He'll bring you to faith in him, but I'll tell you, it will be faith in him.
Yeah.
It will be a God no less than what I've declared to you this morning in the past three messages. In the past messages since we've been here. No less God than that. Can't be less than that. He might be a lot more, David, than what I'm saying. But he can't be less than that.
Exactly.
You get what I'm saying? There may be far more to God than what I'm seeing, than what I see, Mason, in this book. But it can't be any less because that's what this book says.
Exactly.
And if you don't believe in that God, you're lost. And you're either a lost goat or a lost sheep. You're either a lost sheep or you're a lost dog or a lost pig. And if you're a dog or a pig, you're going to stay a dog or a pig no matter how much you get cleaned up.
That's it.
But if you're a sheep, you've already been cleaned. And one of these days he'll reveal himself to you. And you know what? You'll be glad of it. And one thing Scripture says, godly repentance need not be repented of. If you ever wish you could go back, you might as well go back and stay there.
Right.
And I've said this over and over again, and it tears me up when people do, but they might as well.
Yeah.
If you'd rather be anywhere else and do anything else, just go do it.
Yeah.
And quit bothering us.
Yeah.
And I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to be mean. I say that because all we have here, Joe, is sheep food.
Exactly.
And there's nothing else.
Exactly.
And the reason people are not satisfied with this group, there can only be one reason why they're not satisfied. Because the truth of God's not enough.
Exactly.
Now there's a lot we don't have. There's a lot lacking in my abilities and my teaching abilities. But let me tell you, one thing we have is the truth of God.
Amen.
And if you don't like that, then you got the problem. Not me.
Yeah.
Not this group. Not this word.
Exactly.
The problem's in here. Because why we are the children by nature of wrath. That's our nature. In and of ourselves, we hate everything to do with God. Not just, Jay, it's not just I don't like God. We hate God by nature. We despise everything He is. Father, teach us these truths. May they not just be academic or historical facts, but experienced facts. May it be the truth that not just we realize ourselves to be in the hole of the pit, but Lord, that we might truly remember the hole of the pit from which you digged us. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.